This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, hello. It is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, which must mean that it's time for the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. Thank you so much to the Urban Dreaming team for another great show. Triple Bypass broadcasts from Naam on the lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to elders past, present and future, especially the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTIQ+ community. I'm Jennifer. I have news. I have news for everyone. Be alert, not alarmed. I am not alone in the studio. I know. I am joined this evening by the delightful Sam Anderson, whose show, Bicycle, opens very soon at the Butterfly Club. When are we open?
Monday, 6th of August.
That's less than a week, Sam.
It is less than a week.
Look at your little grin.
Come on down, Melbourne. Come on down.
So the super exciting thing for me about tonight, and of course it is all about me because I'm in control of the pattern. No, it's not. But anyway, the great thing about having Sam in the studio is I get to geek out all show long about Bi+ representation on stage. Yes. Yes, we are all about the theatre tonight. And to kick us off, let's have a little chat about possibly the newest example of Bi+ representation on stage, Bicycle. How did the show come about?
Well, Jen, Bicycle came about through years of confusion, really, I think, is the honest to the heart point of view. Also coupled with the fact that I've been obsessed with exercise classes for about over 10 years. And I wanted to express my confusion through doing a piece of theatre about being on an indoor cycling bike. And what if I asked the question to myself, what if I was an instructor, chiseled and ripped, but what if I had a lot of problems and didn't have anyone to share it with? And so this show kind of wrote itself about sharing in an indoor spin class environment, things that you should not share. But, you know, I tried to share over the years with my parents. I tried to share with therapists that my parents sent me to. I found my own therapist to go to, and eventually friends and trusted people. And it's about finding your tribe, really.
Yeah.
Is what the show's about. It's funny. It's not like doom and gloom.
All comedy needs a core of tragedy,
yeah,
right?
Of course. Comedy about tragedy is shtick. So, no, totally. So, and it was, I did many a Bikram yoga class too, where there would be a pose where it would be heart opening pose or something, and the teacher would say, if you're feeling at this point like you things are coming up about your ex lover or past relationships, just notice them like passing clouds. And I'd be like, do you as the teacher want to tell me about that right now? Because I wasn't thinking that at all. So I just thought, what if a teacher did let it go?
Yeah.
Let it go, a la Frozen. So, yeah. And finding the joy.
I really enjoy this this combo of intense physical pain and enduring emotional pain. That's lovely.
That's 50 minutes of that.
You're talking to the right audience.
Okay. Thanks.
You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. This show tonight is pre-recorded, so I do still want you to message in and let me know about your favourite shows. I may not read it tonight, but send us a line. We're on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and you can email us at triplebypass@joy.org.au. We will be back in just a moment with some more epic bisexuality on stage. But to take us there, here is an epic bisexual who is often on stage, Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
Oh, Alan Cumming. Mm. With Ladies Who Lunch from his Alan Cumming Sings Sappy Songs show.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their kaftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym. Into a fitting, claiming their fat, and looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? The girls who stay smart, aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art, wishing it would pass. Another long, exhausting day, another $1,000. A matinee, a pinter play, perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. One for Mahler. I mean, why not? Here's to the girls who play wife. Aren't they too much? Keeping house but clutching a copy of Life just to keep in touch. The ones who follow the rules and meet themselves at the schools. Too busy to know that they're fools. Aren't they a jail? Girls who just watch, aren't they the best? When they get depressed, it's a bottle of scotch plus a little jest. Another chance to disapprove, another brilliant singer, another reason not to move, another vodka stinger. Here's to the girls on the go, everybody tries. Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies. Dinosaurs surviving the crunch. Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody dies.
Every single day. walk down the street, I hear people say, baby, so sweet. Ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember that I'm your baby.
Margins and discipline. I make lists in my sleep, baby. What's my sin? Never quit. I follow through. I hate mess, but I love you. What to do with my impromptu, baby? So be wise, 'cause this girl satisfies. You've got a prize, so don't compromise. You're one lucky baby. Take me for what I am. Who I was meant to be.
Small, yet over it.
And if you give a damn, take me, baby.
That was the ever divine Idina Menzel and Tracy Thomas with Take Me or Leave Me from the musical
Rent.
Rent! Yes,
my favourite.
You're on the representation hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. I am Jennifer, and joining me in the studio for tonight's show is Sam, whose one-person show, Bicycle, opens at the Butterfly Club very soon.
Yes, Monday the 6th of August.
That is so soon.
So soon,
so
yes.
Soon. So get your tickets. But now, let's not forget to come back to Idina and Tracy and the inimitable Rent. I mean, you know, musical of a generation, all that kind of shit. But we're not here to talk about generational touchstones. We're here to talk about the queers. And Rent, I mean, that's got wall-to-wall quilt bags. But there's one character in particular that we're going to have a look at. The delightful Maureen.
Absolutely.
Do we call Maureen delightful?
Oh, she's a powerhouse. I don't know how delightful she is. Blow your face off with that voice and that, and those leather pants. and that cat suit and the mooing.
The mooing.
Yeah, you know, that talk about generational gaps. Where are the beat poets come back?
Maureen, of course, dates Mark Cohen before the show opens.
Correct, yeah.
And when the show opens is in a relationship with Joanne Jefferson. They never actually say that she left Mark for Joanne, do they? I've always assumed she did.
I think so. I mean, I think it seems to be in the given circumstances that, yeah, that in the opening of the show when the mum rings and everyone thinks that Maureen's gone off with a new man, and then, you know, it goes, what's his name? Joanne. You know, and then the audience is kind of filled in and Mark's like, oh, poor me.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've all been in a situation where we've either left someone for a boy or a girl, so we can all feel pain on both ends, I think, you know?
The awkwardness of having to catch up with your former love. Having,
moved on to someone
of a different gender. I think particularly if your ex is not queer,
yeah,
that can be a wee bit of a punch in the guts for the poor diggers, can't it?
Oh, hectic. So bad. But Maureen.
Yeah. Maureen, what do you love about her?
Well, I love that she, in her song, Take Me or Leave Me, I think that, you know, every single day she walks down the street, she hears people say, baby, so sweet. I think that in itself, she's turning everything into a positive. What I felt was confusing and sometimes scary to be feeling like sexual energy from both genders. I think what inspires me about hitting the table and getting passionate.
Trash in the joint.
Is that she turns everything into a beautiful positive of opportunity to connect. I think that's what I love about her in that song, what she reveals about herself in that particular song. Yeah. It's magic. You know?
I'm a sucker for a tragic character. So yeah. I have always loved that she, she's so clearly longing for, and I mean, she talks about Colin's an angel and how she would love to have that, but it's just not her jam.
Yeah.
She can't take that claustrophobia
of one person in particular. Yeah.
And I mean, of course, she's still a slightly problematic bi plus character because she does kind of embody that assumption that we're all going to screw around, that we can't pick a team.
Yes.
But yeah. I don't know, I feel maybe because I'm biased and it's theatre, so it's gotta be better than everything else, right?
Totally.
But she's got that self-awareness and definitely. I think because all of those characters are so flawed, we get to look at her as a little bit more whole than just a predatory bisexual, which is kind of nice.
Definitely layered,
she's
beautiful. And just to, hats off to Jonathan Larson and writing that depth from, you know, from his perspective back in 96.
Yeah.
And now it's 2018 and...
And it still stands.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we're talking about it tonight, but we haven't had a hell of a lot of bi plus representation on stage, so
not of late.
To be able to write somebody who is other than yourself and write them as human is
just incredible.
It's pretty rad. Yeah. It's pretty rad. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Jennifer. I'm joined tonight by Sam, and we are here all night talking about the buys on stage. We're going to be back in just a sec to talk about, I'm going to call him America's greatest political hero. I'm going to go out on a limb with my extensive knowledge of American politics and history.
Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton.
Ooh.
Hey lady, you lady, cursing at your life, You're a discontented mother and a regimented wife. I've no doubt you dream about the things you never do, but I wish someone had talked to me like I want to talk to you. Ooh, I've been to Georgia and California and anywhere I could run. Took the hand of a preacher man and we made love in the sun. But I ran out of places and friendly faces because I've never been to me. Please, lady, please, lady, don't just walk away. 'Cause I have this need to tell you why I'm all alone today. I can see so much of me still living in your eyes. Share a part of a weary heart that has lived a million lives. Ooh, I've been to Nice and the Isle of Greece while I sip champagne on a yacht. Move like Harlow in Monte Carlo and show the world I've got. I've been undressed by kings and I've seen some things that never been to me. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me.
Welcome back. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy with Jennifer and Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Jennifer.
Now, look, if I've Never Been to Me from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, didn't get you up and wailing and waving your arms around, I don't know what will. But I, you know, Zach, who can listen to that and not at least tap a toe?
Mm.
I certainly can't listen to it without getting up and doing a full-blown lip sync. but we're not here to talk about drag queens just at the moment. We are here right now to talk about Alexander Hamilton.
Mm, what a great show.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to say that before we begin that my dearest hope for everyone in the world is that they can find a lover or a loved one that looks at them the way Lin-Manuel Miranda looks at everyone.
Hmm.
Because that man is magic. Anyway, Lin-Manuel aside.
No.
What is this moment of bi plus joy in the musical Hamilton?
So there's a point in my shot. Everyone who knows the musical will have probably started on that track. I know I did. And satisfied. But but where Alexander Hamilton says, quote, "But check what we've got. Mr. Lafayette, hard rock like Lancelot. I think your pants look hot. Lawrence, I like you a lot." And that is, I believe, the extent of the reference of where the bi plus connection comes in. It is through his letters that we understand that Alexander Hamilton had a big kind of a crush or a thing for John Lawrence and
liked his pants.
And liked his pants, that's right, yeah.
Possibly what was inside his pants.
If you read the letters, which I was reading on the train here,
yeah,
it's pretty. The clarity, there's a lot of clarity.
There's one in particular from April 1779. We've been around for it's not a modern invention. where dear little Zandy Hams. begins, "Cold in my professions, warm in my friendships. I wish, my dear Lawrence, it might be in my power, by action rather than words, to convince you that I love you. I shall tell you only that till you bade us adieu, I hardly knew the value you had taught my heart to set upon you. Indeed, my friend, it was not well done. You know the opinion I entertain of mankind, and how much it is my desire to preserve myself free from particular attachments, and to keep my happiness independent of the caprice of others. You should not have taken advantage of my sensibility to steal into my affections without my consent. Don't tell me that's not a love letter.
Yeah, that's Shakespearean. And you read it so beautifully, Jen. Wow.
I love an old love letter.
Yeah.
So Hamilton and Lawrence, down in South Carolina?
Well, I think he got put away. He got captured by the British forces in South Carolina, in that area. And so, therefore, Alexander Hamilton just kept writing him letters. Obviously, he just, like the musical says, he wrote nonstop. And he wasn't... It wasn't in return. Lawrence didn't seem to write letters back for some reason, and that kind of got Alexander's gruff up a little bit. And then he met, obviously, one of the Schuyler sisters, and quickly married. But he let it be known to Lawrence in my short readings that, you know, that he was having obtaining a wife, but he still had these feelings. And that's just incredible.
What I think is really exciting, though, is that this musical includes that relationship. It includes that love. So often, historical characters are straight-washed.
Yes,
and definitely. And their stories are told without this in them. And, I mean, sure, it's not the point of the musical.
No.
But it's a really important part of Hamilton's life. So, you know, if you're going to make a musical called Hamilton, you got to put the important bits
in.
Absolutely.
I love that term. I've never heard it before, but don't straight wash your life. It's just so, I mean, there's a Book of Mormon reference is coming up, you know, find that little box that's gay and crush it, okay?
Yeah.
You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it is not the way to go.
I think it's so exciting that that Lin-Manuel Miranda, I mean, I think everything he does is exciting. It's just
Moana.
but the fact that he has set out to include to create this story of Alexander Hamilton, and he's not chosen to leave out anything important. Mm. He's not made a huge deal of it.
No.
It's life. Yeah. It is this man's life. You can't ignore the fact that he had a deep and abiding love for John Lawrence. And look, I'm looking at a small etching portrait of John Lawrence, and the man's got a very strong nose. So, you know, who wouldn't love him? We know that the more we see something, the more stories we experience, the more we understand it to be true and normal and just life.
Mm.
So, yeah.
The visibility of our stories paves the way for everyone who's coming up or everyone who's older who hasn't opened up to it, you know, and that's what Rent did for me and Hamilton's doing. And... Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Rocky Horror in a minute, which, my word, did it for me.
Rocky.
You are on Triple Bypass. This is the Representation Hour on Joy. We'll be back in just a sec.
On the day I went away, was all I had to say.
No,
I want to come again and stay. Smile, and that will mean I'm there. 'Cause I've seen we
everywhere. It's been the same. Like I'm outside in the rain. Free to try and find a game. Cards for sorrow, cards for pain.
I'm going home there from Tim Curry, making us all swoon. Oh, Tim. Oh,
what a man.
Frank. Yeah, Tim Curry, of course, who played Dr. Frank N. Furter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Rocky Horror Show, written by a Kiwi, because, like, who doesn't love Antipodean queers, am I right? Look, Rocky Horror has aged. It's problematic. We've got Tim Curry, who is most definitely a cis guy, as far as I'm aware. I should not say most definitely. Playing Frankenfurter, who, yes, one could argue, is from the planet transsexual. But... Look, all of the representation there has a cis guy playing a trans person. I would suggest possibly a gender fluid person if we were to stage it today. And so it has aged. It has aged. But for tonight, let's have a chat about the bi plus representation in the Rocky Horror Show. Because it's amazing. And it is way, way problematic. So, you know, we start off with Frank, who is, yeah, kind of very fabulous, but quite garden variety, predatory, bisexual. And well, I don't know about you, Sam, but I think we've got enough predatory bisexuals in our storytelling. fortunately, he's an anti-hero, and he's super campy, and, you know, I mean, the whole show is a piss take on B-grade schlocky horror. but through Tim, we get to see a couple of other sexual awakenings. Through Tim, through Frank. So, you know, there's the famously awful on rewatching scene in the movie and in the show where Frank lets himself in to Brad's bedroom, disguised cleverly as Janet, and launches himself on Brad. And at some point in proceedings reveals that he is actually Frank. And the consent is not shady. Yeah. I used to say the consent was super shady in this scene, but it's not. It's not. We do then see Brad kind of possibly get into it, and we see the aftermath, and it is suggested that, yes, Brad then consented and they had sex. But what's kind of cool for me now, particularly when I rewatch the film, because the film ages, it can't be remounted, although it can be rebooted, is that you see Brad, after the fact, trying to grapple with what's happened, trying to figure it out, and going through that process that you were talking about earlier in your own show of... What the hell just happened? who am I? What am I? What's going on? Do I just ignore this? And in Brad's case, he does. He, you know, kind of shoves it to one side and turns on Frank, who is behaving appallingly and deserves to have everyone turn on him forever. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to watch a character go through. Trying to figure out their place.
Yeah, I love that perspective, Jen. I'd never thought about that, to be honest, before the being sprung upon in such, you know, in these days that's horrendous, like a horrendous kind of a thing, consent-wise. But then in the aftermath, yeah, I mean, that happened to me on many, many occasions. I awoke in the morning thinking, freaked out, like, what am I going to do? What just happened last night? What does that make me, one or the other? And just with no one to talk to about it, just kind of maybe like Brad, just under the rug,
yeah,
you know. And that's why I'm so thankful to be on here tonight, like with you, Jen. Thank you again. Like, it, you got to talk about these things to trusted friends and maybe helplines and things like that, and call up and call Jen up, everyone out there, and have a chat, you know, because
I mean, it's so tricky to find your tribe sometimes.
Yeah.
I get so excited when I meet bi plus people who are kind of in their late teens, early 20s, and it's just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not easy. It's still a really tricky thing to grapple with and find your space, and you're still getting a lot of messaging about what that means about you. But that this word exists, bisexual, that there are more versions, that there are different colours within, different shades of purple within our world, and... I didn't clock it at the time when I first watched Rocky Horror, but going back and watching it now, I was like, I've seen that face. I've felt that face on my own head, you know, going home and thinking, what was that? How does that... I think
that maybe word too. Maybe. Oh my gosh.
And it's such a delicious thing to be able to explore. So I'm hoping that somebody mounts a tour of the Rocky Horror Show in which Frank is allowed to be genderqueer. Brad is allowed to figure out what's going on with his sexuality.
And
Rocky does as well.
Rocky.
You are on the Representation Hour with Jennifer and Sam Anderson, creator and star of Bicycle, which is coming up super soon at the Butterfly Club, next week, in fact. So, get your tickets. We are... we're going to be back soon. We're almost at the end. We're going to come back and talk about... actually, do you know what? I probably spoke too soon. We're going to come back and talk about the movie that was actually my sexual awakening. And also incredible Kinky Boots.
Woo!
So to take us to the break, here is Chiwetel Ejiofor as Lola from Kinky Boots, the movie.
Yes.
Covering notable bisexual Eartha Kitt's I Want to Be Evil. Turn it up.
I've posed for pictures with ivory soap. I've petted stray dogs and shied clear of dope. My smile is brilliant, my glance is tender. But I am noted most for my unspoiled gender. Prim and proper. The girl who's never been cased. And I'm tired of being pure and not chaste. Like something that seeks its level. I want to go to the devil. I want to be evil. I want to spit tax. I want to be evil and cheat at jacks. I want to be wicked. I want to tell lies. I want to be mean and throw mud pies. I want to wake up in the morning with that dark brown taste. I want to see some dissipation in my face. I want to be evil. I want to be mad. But more than that, I want to be bad. I want to be evil and trump an ace just to see my partner's face. I want to be nasty. I want to be cruel. I want to be daring. I want to shoot pool. Theater. I want to change my seat just so I can step on everybody's feet. I want to be evil. I want to hurt flies. I want to sing songs like the guy who cries. I want to be horrid. I want to drink booze and whatever I got. I'm eager to lose.
Welcome back. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy, which means it's got to be Tuesday night. Am I right, Sam?
It sure is. Tuesday, Jay.
Last Tuesday of the month. Oh. I come in and rant at you all about Bi-plus representation, and tonight it has been all about Bi-plus representation on stage. Which, you know, is tricky to tell people to go and see a stage show that isn't being mounted at the moment. But the great thing about stage shows now is they all get turned into movies. So, yeah, get out your I'm waving my thumbs in the air like the middle-aged woman I am. Get out whatever you use to download and download yourself Rent and Rocky Horror and Kinky Boots.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, Kinky Boots.
Lola.
Now, I had not considered Kinky Boots as a show that has some Bi-plus representation in it, but you very cleverly spotted it in the stage show. So, lay it on us.
Well, Jen, years of watching this show since about 2014 and loving it, discussions kept coming up with me and my mates about Lola's orientation, and it really annoyed me because it's one of my favourite shows, but there's a point where Don, the big gruff factory worker, goes, "Oh, what? So you're not into guys?" And that was a horrible accent. sorry if you live in North London and you're listening in.
Clearly North England. You are from up north.
That's right, I'm Don.
From the Midlands. Don.
Yeah, so Don goes, "Oh, you're not into girls." And then Lola goes, "Well..." And it's really suddenly from that point on, it's really ambiguous as an audience member to understand where Lola sits. And maybe this is a good thing, maybe what we're talking about tonight on tonight's show. But I just found it wasn't defined. We didn't know if Lola liked boys or liked girls. And again, that could be great for what we're talking about. But within the show, I thought as a drag queen, I wanted to know what Lola stood for, and if it was that that she was bi-curious or fluid or open, it just wasn't in the writing. And I love Harvey Fienstein's book. I think it is one of the classic contemporary musicals to watch. Such a well-made story. But that is that's a pivotal sexuality of Lola.
And apparently Harvey...
Yeah.
Reckons that he wrote Lola as straight.
Yeah. How?
I think...
Why?
I mean, those of you who were listening in last month may remember me sharing the rule, because I don't make the rules, Sam. I just let everybody know about them, as is my duty, that any character who you think is bisexual is automatically bisexual.
Absolutely.
And that bisexuals shall forevermore be assumed to be the natural state of everything until somebody comes out as monosexual. So, I don't make the rules. I'm just sharing the knowledge. I reckon Lola probably is.
Is straight.
But no, is bi.
Is bi.
But
yeah.
I see, so here's the thing. The thing that I think is really exciting about Kinky Boots is it's never stated.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what you're talking about tonight that's just so dawned. Maybe that
is... We can headcanon the shit out of Lola. we can claim her.
I reckon we do. And maybe even Charlie. I don't know.
Right. But, I mean, there is a whole lot... Yeah, no, I'm claim Charlie. There is a whole lot of research being done and recently about the number or the incidence of overlap between non-binary sexuality and non-binary gender.
Okay.
So, Lola, non-binary gender, it's science, Sam.
Mm.
It's science. You know, we don't make the rules.
Keep going. I'm learning from you right now, Jenna. Like, writing notes. Like, where was this in school?
Right. No, I'm totally happy to claim Lola. I think Lola's fabulous and should be hashtag one of us.
Yeah, totally. Hope so.
We are almost out of time, but I couldn't let a discussion of bisexuality on stage go by without talking about Cabaret.
Yay.
Oh, Cabaret. Yeah. Based, of course, on Christopher Isherwood's Berlin novels, turned into a musical that was then turned into a movie that has then been remounted as a musical, and just is a beautiful frickin' piece of storytelling.
Absolutely.
So we have our Sally's not actually our protagonist, but Sally Bowles, the inimitable cabaret performer at the Kit Kat Club. So for anyone who doesn't know, Cabaret is set in a playhouse in the Weimar Republic in early 30s, I think about 31. So we've got the rise of the Nazi Party, haven't yet gone to war. Stuff's getting pretty serious. Artists and queer people are being disappeared at an alarming rate. And I think the really horrible... the whole situation was horrible. Mm. But one of the really tragic things about what happened to Germany is that it went from being a centre of thought and research, and it was a real haven for a whole lot of artists and queer people, gender fluid people, people of fluid sexuality, and then that was just flipped, and people were disappeared, were taken in the night, and that beautiful beautiful artistic heart was broken, and you know we still get to see it. Occasionally, if I don't know if you've been to Berlin, it's one of my favourite cities. So we've got this this show that kind of centres around. Oh, my brain's just stopped.
Don't be silly.
Around the relationship between Sally Bowles and Brian Roberts. Brian Roberts, played beautifully by Michael York. And Sally Bowles by Liza Minnelli in the film. So Brian is in Germany. He's totally out of his depth, doesn't know what's going on. He's a writer. I think he's definitely a writer in the novels, of course, based on Christopher Isherwood's own experiences. And he goes to the Kit Kat Club and he sees Sally Bowles and he is lost forever. But very shortly thereafter, the two of them meet Maximilian von Heune, and start a love affair. And I think it's really, really exciting that we have this story that in which the central romantic relationship is a three-person relationship, and that three-person relationship isn't a guy and two women, because how often do we get that?
Yeah, it's
not over-sexualized. It's problematic. It's difficult. We've got a super privileged German guy in a relationship that, if he wasn't super privileged, would probably result in his death. And two people who are visitors to this country also, and oh my goodness, the problems and the dangers. And needless to say, this show had a lot of influence on me when I was writing A Scandal in the Weimar, which was also peppered with bisexuals, because, and I will fight anyone who argues otherwise, Sherlock Holmes is definitely bisexual.
I never thought about it. Yeah, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
My dear Watson, my dear boy.
Yeah. So we had Lady Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Jean Watson, and they had almost certainly had a thing in university. Anyway, back to Cabaret. We also have in Cabaret one of my favourite stage characters of all time, MC.
Yeah, I agree.
MC. Now, again, if you haven't seen it, get your hands on a copy of the movie and watch Joel Grey give you a masterclass in how to create an oddly endearing but very, very odd character. It's this beautiful thing that MC does in the stage show and in the movie, where MC holds space. MC is sitting watching their friends and loved ones disappear, watching their country fall down around their ears, and their main priority is to create a little bubble of joy. And there's this beautiful, leave your troubles outside. So life is disappointing, forget it. In here, life is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are beautiful, even the orchestra is beautiful. but the thing is, there's this little pocket of hope, of respite. It's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's one of my absolute favourite characters in musical theatre. And partly, I saw one of the boys from Human Nature do it here back in 2001 here in Melbourne. It was incredible representation of the MC. And for me, he was so expressive and commanding. He had a lot of feminine energy just cursing through his being and sexuality. And little nods, little bisexual nods. He would go, he'd be like, something sexual, and then he'd go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, and he'd give that to the audience so that everyone felt like they wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I certainly did. And I got to see our amazing Alan Cummings from the back row on Broadway, I think 2 years ago when he remounted. Just a masterclass in theatre and acting.
I got to see Cabaret live in Frankfurt, performed by the English Theatre, which was kind of rad, watching Germans react to an Englishman's view of pre-war Germany.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. But my goodness, I would sell a kidney to see Alan Cumming play MC. I've spent a lot of time on YouTube watching those clips, and they are
me too.
The pants, the nipples. if we're talking about leather pants and nipples, it must be just about time to wrap up. This has been the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. I have been, as always, Jennifer Piper. I will be back with you next month to talk about more Bi+ representation on stage. Ruby and the Gang will be back next Tuesday. But in the meantime, book your tickets to see Sam Anderson in Bicycle at the Butterfly Club, opening on Monday.
Monday the 6th.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I just need the energy in. I need every butt cheek, Melbourne, come down to the Butterfly Club. If you've ever questioned, please come.
Yeah.
I would love your energy in the room. It would make it everything.
We don't have enough Bi-plus characters on stage, so let's love them when they exist.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Jen.
Thanks for being here. We're coming up to 10 o'clock. You're on Joy.
J-Lo. Yeah, the side, my mother.
Party people in the club.
Huh. I'm loose, and everybody knows I get off the train. Baby's the truth,
the truth.
I'm like Inception, I play with your brain, so don't sleep or snooze,
snooze.
I don't play no games, so don't get it confused, no, cause you will lose, yeah. Now pump it up and back it up like a Tonka truck. Dale.
If you go hard, you gotta get on the floor. If you're a party freak,
listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.